the macro picture has improved, which helps too. So consider where the economy was at the end of 2022. A lot of people were expecting a recession. Since then, the economy has proven much more resilient.
You're listening to IBKR Podcasts. Find more conversations at ibkrpodcasts.com. Please remember, any trading discussions are for information purposes only and are not intended to portray recommendations. Please listen to further disclosures at the end of today's episode. Now, welcome to our show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to IBKR Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Praisman. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the IBKR Podcast studio, Michael Normile, NASDAQ's U.S. economist. Welcome, Mile. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Always our pleasure to have you back in the studio. We appreciate you coming in once a month for our podcast on the economy. Today, I want to talk about something that all our listeners are obviously very into following IBKR Podcast, the market. S&P 500 is trading at record highs. And there's been a lot of talk in the news, both print and TV. Everywhere you go, you hear about this Magnificent Seven and the effect they are having on the S&P 500. Let's start with, what stocks make up famous Magnificent Seven?
Well, yeah, so the Magnificent Seven, it's all stocks that now or at one point had a market cap of at least $1 trillion. And of course, I have to mention they're all listed on NASDAQ. So those are Alphabet, Google's parent company, Amazon, Apple, Meta, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Tesla.
So really household names when it comes down to it. I mean, not only are they super successful companies and high valuations, but certainly pretty much everyone's heard of those companies. Now, with the S&P trading these record highs, is it only these seven stocks that are up, or, the rising tide lifting all, or many of the boats, are many stocks up, they're not in the limelight?
Yeah, well, we've seen this rally kind of going back to late 2022. And over that time frame, the Magnificent Seven as a group has seen their share price roughly double. But the rally is broader than that. So the NASDAQ 100 is up about 70%. S&P 500 is up around 35%. The Dow is up around 20%. If you look at NASDAQ's mid caps, the QQQJ, that's up about 20%. Small caps, the QQQS, that's up about 5%. And I think it's important to remember that this rally that we've seen, it's coming off a bear market that we saw when the Fed pivoted to rate hikes early in 2022. So you can kind of look at this rally in a few different pieces. So from its start to last October, then the last couple months of last year and this year. And so from the beginning of the rally till the end of October, when 10-year Treasury yields peaked at 5%, the rally was really driven a lot by these Magnificent Seven stocks. And a lot of that had to do with these companies being expected to benefit from artificial intelligence or AI. But the last couple months of the year, we saw a broad-based rally as yields fell and Fed rate cut expectations for 2024 rose. And then this year, we've seen another return to large caps kind of leading the way as markets dialed back their Fed rate cut expectations. Markets now in line with the Fed plan of 75 basis points in rate cuts this year, which the Fed just reaffirmed at their March meeting. And so in part, that's because smaller companies are more rate sensitive. Data shows nearly 40% of small cap debt is floating rate compared to 6% for large caps. So the downshift in rate cut expectations is more of a headwind for small caps.
So that kind of leads me to my next question. You definitely answered part of it, at least, as far as what's driving these valuations. So it seems like it may have kicked off with sort of that artificial intelligence effect. But now, is it fair to say it's more drifted into actual fundamentals for these, rising stocks?
Yeah. So if we look at the 12-month forward PEs for the Mag 7, again, as a group, they were around, it was around 23 at the end of 2022. So investors were paying $23 per dollar of earnings. By last July, that had gotten as high as 35. But since November, it's really been hovering around 30, so about 33% higher valuation than we saw at the end of 2022. And the reason for that kind of switch back with valuations coming lower is because earnings are actually up almost 100% for the Mag 7 since the end of 2022. So that's like you're saying, it is a lot of fundamentals here. And there is some, of course, AI optimism. And in reality, if you think that the bulk of gains from AI is probably a few years out at least, then that's why these valuations might be getting ahead of earnings a little bit. But these companies, they've seen strong profits and they've got real earnings. So, you know, the earnings piece of the calculation has increased. And then to top that off, the macro picture has improved, which helps too. So consider where the economy was at the end of 2022. A lot of people were expecting a recession. Since then, the economy has proven much more resilient. So there's less downside risk to earnings there too.
And with any stock rise, you know, you hear bubble talk, right? There's talk, is, are we in a bubble? Are we not in a bubble? Clearly saying that there's fundamentals behind these kind of tends for me to think that we might not be, but you know, you never know. But you know, what's your opinion on that?
Right. Yeah, I don't think that we are currently, at least. Things can always change, right? But not right now for a few reasons. I think of a bubble as irrational exuberance, to borrow a phrase, and we're not seeing that now. So if you look at the late 90s, early 2000s kind of dot-com tech bubble, you saw a rally for a lot of unprofitable tech companies that weren't able to ultimately deliver those profits that investors had, you know, priced in. And so the bubble eventually burst. Right now, though, if you look at the non-profitable companies, they haven't been a part of this rally so much. And then, you know, even recently, we're seeing returns diverge for the Mag 7 companies since late last year. So it's not just blind speculation where this group as a whole is just rising. And then even surveys that the American Association of Individual Investors does shows only 47% call themselves bullish right now, compared to 75% in 2000 and even 60% in early 2018. So there's some, you know, kind of caution from investors. And then the rally's gotten less top heavy with the equal weight S&P 500 hitting a record high. And then again, getting back to kind of the valuations, the NASDAQ composite PE, it's under 30 right now. That's below the 35 level it reached in late 2020 as we were kind of in the rally from the pandemic. So valuations aren't even as stretched as we saw back then. And again, that's because we've seen those earnings rising. So NASDAQ composite earnings are up 30% since the end of 2022 compared to an 18% increase in PE. So that's where rising earnings are kind of justifying what we've seen.
So really, you know, even though the tech companies are kind of in the limelight and the spotlight and kind of leading the charge, we both agree that this isn't, we're not in a bubble. And it was great that you brought up that, you know, the kind of infamous tech bubble of the 90s, right? Where like everything with a .com, you know, was the most valuable company in the world. I mean, you had the sock puppet thing, you had, you know, whatever company that was out there that had a .com at the end of their name, whether they're on the internet or not, seemed to just explode in value. So certainly very different today than, you know, back then. And, you know, besides for those seven, you sort of touched on this, how are stocks doing? Everyone beating earnings, or is it like mixed and matched, or sort of certain industries are faring better than others? You know, we touched on the election last time, so obviously that might have some effects on it as well.
With regard to earnings, what we saw in Q4 in particular was with large caps that it was pretty broad-based, and that earnings, you know, large caps as a whole did well. We saw at the start of earnings season, expectations were that they would contract 2% year over year for the S&P 500. But by the end of earnings season, they were up 4% year over year. And so that helped kind of push large caps up with that earnings results turning out so well. And like I said, it was pretty broad-based, but the kind of weakness that we had seen in healthcare from the drop in COVID spending, in energy from energy prices coming down from a year earlier, materials as well, which had some headwinds from the weakness that we've seen in manufacturing lately. Those are kind of the weak areas that we saw. But more broadly, most sectors did quite well. But if you're looking at mid-caps, for example, S&P 400 mid-caps, they exited their earnings recession in Q4 with earnings growing over 2.5%. But small caps, they're still on an earnings recession, falling almost 25% year over year in Q4. And contracting for the sixth straight quarter. So it really depends on if you're looking at, you know, large caps, mid caps, and small caps.
I want to pivot a little bit. You know, we started this conversation off talking about the S&P 500, which everyone knows. I really like the fact that you brought in other benchmarks into the conversation, because they're not just US benchmarks, but also global benchmarks. Listen, we're in a global world, more so than ever, you know, now than ever. The other US and the foreign benchmarks, they seem to be experiencing record highs as well, really, right? Is that a correct statement?
Yeah, exactly. So especially for large caps, right? The NASDAQ composite, S&P 500, even the equal weight S&P 500, as I mentioned earlier, they're all at record highs, the Dow too. And then in Europe, the Stoxx 600 hit a record high. In Japan, the Nikkei hit a record high. And for the US and Europe, you know, there could be some potential tailwind from the expectations of rate cuts this year from their central banks. That's not the case in Japan, of course, with Bank of Japan just exiting their negative rates policy. But it has been kind of a global experience in a lot of ways.
You know, maybe a really good question, just so our listeners get sort of the perspective. Compared to the other global benchmarks, like say FTSE or DAX, you know, what percentage does the U.S. make up?
Well, so according to UBS, U.S. equities are about 60% of global equities based on the FTSE Russell All World Index. In comparison, UK is about 4% and Germany is about 2%. Of course, as this whole discussion started, we're also home to many of the largest companies in the world, and many of them have large international footprints too. So, of course, and then to top it off, the US is the largest economy in the world. So the kind of outsized role that the US plays in global equities makes a little more sense where you can consider the global context of these companies that are based in the US too.
Right. So even though they're based in the US, foreign countries are benefiting from the foreign countries. So like we kind of stated earlier, it really is a global economy more so than ever these days. Any other thoughts you want to, you know, leave our listeners with as far as just sort of the current economic situation or the way the stock market's going?
Yeah, I think just in terms of the whole bubble discussion, we're going to have to worry about a bubble when we don't see earnings supporting the returns we're seeing anymore. And whether that's prices getting so far ahead of earnings growth or earnings actually falling. For now, though, with the soft landing looking more and more likely, the Fed expected to start easing up on rates, it looks like we're in a good spot, in my opinion.
Michael, this was great. I mean, thank you again for coming by and joining us at the IBKR podcast studio. For more from Michael and NASDAQ, just please go to our website under education. You can view previous NASDAQ webinars as well as our previous podcasts with Michael. You can click on contributors or you can click down the podcast. You can find them. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, I'm Jeff Praisman with Interactive Brokers.
Thanks for listening to IBKR Podcasts. As always, we have more episodes at IBKRpodcasts.com. And if you're interested in learning more about Interactive Brokers, visit IBKR.com. We offer more trading education material, such as webinars at IBKRwebinars.com, financial and economic commentary at TradersInsight.news, market-related courses at TradersAcademy.online, and quant-related articles at IBKRquant.com.
The analysis in this material is provided for information only and is not and should not be construed as an offer to sell or the solicitation of an offer to buy any security. To the extent that this material discusses general market activity, industry, or sector trends, or other broad-based economic or political conditions, it should not be construed as research or investment advice. To the extent that it includes references to specific securities, commodities, currencies, or other instruments, those references do not constitute a recommendation by IBKR to buy, sell, or hold such investments. This material does not and is not intended to take into account the particular financial conditions, investment objectives, or requirements of individual customers. Before acting on this material, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and, as necessary, seek professional advice.